Hey, let's talk about diamonds. Selecting a diamond for an engagement ring is not an everyday experience. It's an important purchase, and at Chain Company, we make it informative and fun. And honestly, it's easy. Cut, color, clarity, and carat weight are important. They're your four C's. But here's the deal. At Chain Company, we won't just tell you our diamonds are more beautiful. We'll show you. Come in to compare a Chain Company diamond side by side with a non-Chain Company diamond in the same grade. You'll see for yourself that our diamond has more beauty and sparkle. You'll be blown away when you see that two diamonds in the exact same grade can look so different. Our diamond experts examine each diamond individually and hand select each diamond for its beauty. Whether you're shopping in person or online, we have the same rigorous selection process for all the diamonds we sell. Visit us today. You'll have the confidence to pick the diamond that's perfect for you.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business. Chain Company and ChainCo.com.
Hey, welcome to another exciting, suspenseful episode of Bob Saget's Here For You. I'm here for you. Oh, no, I'm Bob Saget. And this is a podcast that I do because I want to. And I'm really happy that you guys are digging it. We say digging it because I'm not from the 50s. I just say digging it because I heard people from the 50s say it. Listen to this thing, you can go up and subscribe and review and rate and all that stuff, or you could follow it depending on where you're listening to it. And there's a number up there that you can call and leave a message, and then on certain days I'll be calling you guys, and I'll announce it on Twitter and on Instagram stories, and I'll call you guys and see how you're doing, because I get a lot from it, and for some reason people seem to feel better, which is really unusual to me. I'm just thinking about what a lot of people are going through. A lot of people are upset about the news. A lot of people are upset about the information they get from the news. A lot of people are upset about what they believe in that they're reinforced with the news. And my guest that's coming up right now is a man who looks at it daily, and every week he delivers one of the best shows of its kind on television, and it's Real Time with Bill Maher. So I take you now to my friend Bill Maher.
Hey, are we doing this?
Yeah, sure.
It's a podcast. There's no like rules or...
Well, there aren't. I have a couple breaks I take, and that's easy. But it's not like what you've been doing. You've been doing something amazing. I mean,
you're
keeping me alive. I mean, the monologues and the audience cutaways alone, I'm fine now.
I don't pick those cutaways. I'm always surprised myself, and it's a rare treat to get an LOL from your own kid, because usually you know what's coming, you know.
Right.
Like last week they put in De Niro.
That's from Cape Fear, right?
From Cape Fear, you know. Yes. Which the scene I always loved anyway. You know, I always thought that was, you know, he's obviously such a brilliant actor, but that was such a brilliant acting choice. I mean, I remember watching it in the theater and laughing my ass off, watching him laugh his ass off.
Right.
It's like such a unpredictable way to once again show how creepy and scary that character was. And funny at the same time. It was just... Right.
I'm glad they didn't use the ear biting off scene. That would have been upsetting.
Yeah.
For the cutaway. Well, you don't do podcasts much, right?
I don't know if I've ever done it. I did Sam Harris's with Larry Charles about a year ago, 2 years ago, it was the 10th anniversary of the movie Larry Charles and I Made Religious.
Yeah, I loved.
Oh, thank you. And Sam's a famous writer of a couple of atheist books. So we thought, let's go on Sam's show and talk about that. So that was fun. I don't remember ever doing other podcasts, you know, but I know they're big, Bob.
Well, here's the thing. You're saying thanks for doing mine.
Oh yeah,
I you know, everybody's good.
A podcast.
it's a podcast. Everybody's got one. I mean, my UPS driver's got one, the kid across the street, you know. And once quarantine happened, every actor just said, oh, let's do a podcast.
Right.
But I started this before quarantine because I was out on tour and I was getting ready to do a special. I had it all ready to go. I'm sure you were getting close probably too with new stuff out there.
Well, I wasn't about to do one. I could have. I was going to wait and, you know, God knows if we'll ever get back to ever do anything like that again. I mean, it's funny. You probably had the same experience I've had, which is at first we were like holding on for dear life. Maybe we'll be able to do the end of the year, you know, so they didn't cancel, you know, they canceled everything from like March until September. And then they canceled same. September to the end of the year. Like the virus is going to go, hey, it's 2021, we're gone. It's like we moved everything to 2021, and I don't know if the virus is going to cooperate with that. And
right, there's a mint. There's a COVID mint that works as a mask.
It's, you know, I mean, it's all so stupid. You can fly on an airplane, which is recycled air, and you're sitting, you know, you're supposed to sit one seat apart. But I know people who've been on flights and say sometimes they go, fuck it. And everybody sits right where they used to, right next to
you. Even when you wear the welding helmet thing, you're still airborne.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you wear a mask on the plane. But if you can do that, why couldn't you do that in a baseball stadium? And also, when you go to dinner, I went to dinner once. I've been to dinner once.
How was it? I did it twice. I didn't love it.
It was, I thought it was, the Polo Lounge, which is my favorite. Right. And it's they have outside anyway. And yes, the waiters wore the welding mask and you had to wear a mask. I mean, this is the official. They weren't doing anything wrong. This is official. You walk in with the mask on. If you walk to the bathroom, you have to wear the mask.
I always wear a mask in the bathroom anyway.
But while you're eating, no one has a mask on. Look, the virus is saying, well, we're a virus. We're not a monster. We're not going to jump in anybody's mouth while they're eating. I mean, please.
And that's literally when you're inhaling.
Come on. They're with people. it's so inconsistent and ridiculous.
I know. But I do think we're going to, if there's a vaccine, then we can get out there if we know it works. But then we don't know if the audience is going to have this vaccine. So I don't want to be responsible for thousands of people getting sick.
Well, don't get me started on vaccines. I'm not a denier, but I am a skeptic of everything medical, as any smart person should be.
Unless the president tells you, because he is the king of medicine.
Right. But apparently I'm not alone. Only 42% of people I read today would take the vaccine.
Why is that?
Probably because they... Well, I mean, again, don't get me started.
I like getting you started. I've always liked you. You're fun to get started.
Okay. Well, I mean, my thing about, I mean, it depends on what your view of medicine in the macro is, your big view of medicine. Mine is that we are only at the very beginning of our understanding of what goes on inside here. And that's not hard to prove. I mean, they don't know what causes cancer. They don't know what causes Parkinson's disease or a million other things I could mention. When you get something that's anything complicated, they say, get a second opinion. Well, what does that tell you? First of all, it's an opinion. Second of all, the second one very rarely matches the first. So they're always just guessing. So, of course, vaccines work. They've done some great things. They've been one of the great tools of modern science and medical advancement. But I don't know the long-term effects always. So if I
right. can,
there are some vaccines I would get tomorrow if I, you know, I mean, if
there's no time for test trials. There's no time to give it years.
If this was bubonic plague, I'd be the first in line. Or if I was going to go to someplace that had Ebola. But my choice, my preference is to use my own immune system if I can. And, you know, I've said from the very beginning, I'm not that scared of this. Could it get me? Of course. We don't know everything about it. And all viruses are a little bit scary. But, you know, it depends on what your view of how you take care of your own health is. And you're allowed to differ from what Dr. Fauci says, who's been wrong about stuff before. Right. Including some things about this. He says he's a he's a very capable guy, and I don't think he's not smart or anything, but I said it last week on the show that these top people in the medical field have not, to me, done the one most important thing, which is tell the American people the most important thing you can do in this crisis is get yourself into better health.
You're absolutely right.
Get your immune system that's your best defense against this virus. Get your immune system in a better state. But that would probably offend Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola and the processed food industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, they're just very conventional people. They do things by the book the way they've always done it. It's not how I see medicine and germs. You know, I mean, I believe in what Louis Pasteur said before he died. He was one of the fathers of germ theory, but he said, it's the terrain. Of course, the germ matters, the pathogen matters, but it's the terrain. Does it find some place that's hospitable?
Are you vulnerable? Are you obese? Right. Fast food has always been Carmex. It's like eating...
If you're not in a good metabolic state, then the terrain is very friendly to cause havoc. So that, I mean, just to tell people things like that, I think should have been what, our medical experts tell us, but they don't. It's just all about defensive, stay home, get under the bed, hide, wear a mask. I mean, I'm not against wearing a mask. Of course it works. We should do these things. But we should also, you know, have some skin in the game of our own, you know, have some responsibility. Don't sit home and just put on weight during the pandemic. That's great.
People are drinking and eating whatever they want. I've been pretty good. I'm pretty happy. I make a normal stool. Sorry, you're drinking. Sorry. I know you. I knew that would have done it.
Because I don't eat all day when I do. We just finished our show, why I'm in a tie.
I know.
And... you know,
I'm in one of Jay Leno's old jean shirts.
It would be blue, wouldn't it?
It would. It kind of is in its own way.
Either have one shirt or 100 shirts that are
100, like his garage.
But I don't eat all day, so excuse me for drinking my breakfast.
No, it's good. Is it green stuff?
No, it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of good stuff. I don't know if you even want to know what's in this, but
there's things I'd want to say, but they're not appropriate anymore. I cannot, you know, it was funny. Somebody asked me to do a documentary about language and about words like fuck and talk like Carlin would talk. And I'm not about that right now. Anything anyone says can be taken out of context and you're just fucked. I know that you have this constantly because you're incredibly bold. And yet you're kind of more from my mind, more in the middle than you've ever been because you're looking at everything. You're saying, what the hell are the liberals doing? Why are they doing this? And why is the extreme right like this? It's just very clear. I think your clarity and what you're, I'm not licking your butt because I'm not that kind of guy, but what you're doing, you know me, Jesus, 38 years, I don't know.
Yeah, and Bob, you're a sick man.
you took me to Hawaii and that wonderful, that's what you want to get back.
Let's elaborate so people, that sounds like I took you to Hawaii. You know, but
that was right after you're a sick man, Bob.
We were doing a gig.
It's a wonderful gig that you do every year, and hopefully next Christmas you'll be able to do it again.
The joy of my life, and today, this year would have been year 10, would have been our 10th anniversary, and of course it got canceled with everything else. So that's a real, real shame. Hopefully we'll be able to do our 10th anniversary the year after, but you know, who knows? But getting back to the vaccine, look, I hope they have a vaccine. If that's what it takes for people to feel good, let's get it out there, get it in you. If that's what makes people feel good. And by the way, vaccines, if I could say one other thing there, some people, it is appropriate. If you are not in good metabolic health, yes, you do need the vaccine.
Or if you have lung issues, things like that.
Yeah. You know what?
Asthma.
Yeah. But you know, it should be a case by case basis that you discuss with your doctor if he's smart, not if he's an idiot, which happens sometimes.
Oh my God, does it!
By the way, that's another thing the medical establishment doesn't seem to want to do, is to tell you what to do if you get it.
Yeah, that's right.
I never hear that.
No, it's all fear. That's all it is.
They're the medical people. Shouldn't they say, you know what, have on hand, you know, the best bioavailable vitamin C, and make sure you get vitamin D, you know?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of that. My wife gives it to me rectally. Just trying to cheer you up. You had a long day.
True. But, you know, you need some sunshine to, you know, and yeah. Think. And, you know, I mean, look, I eat garlic every day. That kills everything.
Right.
You know, and if I got it, I would probably eat a lot more of it. You know, just very common sense things. And the hydroxychloroquine, there have been some studies, clinical studies, that say, no, doesn't work at all. And there have been some doctors that say, yeah, but I used it in these situations with these people, and I do think it worked. So we don't know exactly why. What I'd like to say is, if the only reason you don't do it is because Trump did it, and he's an idiot, then you're kind of an idiot too. You know,
right. Well, he's getting his information from somewhere. I keep calling it oxyhydrochloroquine because I want to add the oxy so it sounds like I'm doing a bad drug.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a terribly safe drug anyway, although there are people who have been on it for years. But I think there are definitely side effects, as there are with everything, including vaccines. Okay, so I don't want that. You know, my thing is, I want to handle everything as naturally as possible. I think the God I don't believe in gave me a better system.
I just lost one listener.
Gave me a better system to deal with this than most of what I can get in a pharmacy. But again, I'm glad these tools are available. You know, I mean, I'm glad antibiotics are in the world. But if I can, I'd like to never use them because they're very harmful.
When you get a bad flu or something, and then you could take a Z-Pack, do you do it or you don't do it?
Well, that would be stupid because antibiotics are for bacteria and flu is a virus. So,
I am fairly stupid. You know me.
No, but remember when we got to Hawaii that day, you were bragging about your wife gave you a Z-Pack or something. And
she wouldn't have given it to me. She doesn't believe in them either. I have taken them when I had a virus, not a bacterial thing.
I believe in them. Right. I believe in antibiotics.
Right. That's my religion.
I happen to know what they do to my biome. They kill the bad bacteria. But they also kill the good bacteria.
Right.
Which causes other problems. And, you know, so... Again, am I glad they exist in the world? Very much so, because before antibiotics, people died. You know, they would get like a paper cut. Next day, what happened to Bob? Oh,
I had pneumonia once, and I had to take them. There was no other course.
Oh yes, sometimes you've had,
and it saved my life because I keep working. I'm a workaholic, yeah. So I didn't know I had walking pneumonia.
Unfortunately, doctors have been giving them out like Skittles for the last 50 years. So. We've used them so much that they don't work anymore. This is a much bigger medical problem than most people realize, is that we were entering a new age where we kind of don't have or not going to have antibiotics. I mean, already hospital infections kills, I think, something like 100,000 people a year, hospital acquired infections. And a lot of them are these ones that they don't have anything with.
It's a thing that happens in three.
They don't have the magic bullet anymore. So this is a real problem. And we're not really developing new antibiotics because there's no money in it. You know why? Because antibiotics is something you take for a week. And the pharmaceutical companies want to develop something you take forever. You know, if you're on statins, which of course have bad side effects too. People will talk about that. Yeah. If you're on something because you have acid reflux or arthritis, you know, there's all these things.
Well, one of the biggest sins is, and I've had it
every day.
Yeah.
That's where the money is. Antibiotics is not enough money. So, you know,
And there's all these other, you know, I lost one sister to scleroderma, which is an autoimmune vascular disease, not unlike COVID. It does have similar qualities vascularly. And my other sister, sadly, was schizophrenic and had mental health issues. And that is where Big Pharma really kills a lot of people. They just completely test you on mental meds, and you're a guinea pig for whatever doesn't work. Then they pull it, and they don't titrate them. And that, to me, is also a huge crime of what they're doing to people out there. And some people really need the meds, and some people don't want to take them because they're not even the right meds. So we've always had, and people die of mental health issues constantly. There's so many suicides, and I don't have to tell you, but having gone through it, you know, it's just, is the human race going to get through all of this shit that seems to have come to a gigantic head this year? It's just, so many people are disheartened.
I mean, who could not be? It's been a annus terribilis, but will we get through it? Yeah. I mean, viruses go through populations. That's the history. This has been going on, this battle with humans and viruses, for a million years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one reason, again, why, yes, is it bad? Sure. But I mean, you look at how different countries have reacted to it and fared with it. Did Trump fuck it up? Of course. I mean, just starting with firing the pandemic squad that was over there in China was the MacGuffin that got this whole tragedy started. You know, if he had just not done that, saving literally pennies in a budget of trillions and trillions of dollars, what could that have cost to keep a small team in China to watch out for when these things start? I mean, we could have saved the world so much pain and anguish. But it's not just him. You know, again, we are not in good shape health-wise.
Right.
And of course, you know, I said it, the way I put it last week, is like, we're like a boxer who went into the ring out of shape. You're going to take a beating, you know? So we will get through it.
I agree. I'm hopeful.
Pandemics go through society. This isn't the first.
Well, malaria, polio, I mean, people, not a lot of people get polio, but people can get malaria if they don't have the vaccine, which does work.
People are getting malaria again in greater numbers because there's so much focus and effort put toward this virus that they're kind of neglecting some of the other things that are out there. So this is not going to be the last one.
Where could I go to get malaria if I wanted to go on a vacation? Is there any particular spot?
You could go to an old World War II movie, you know.
You know what I did to relax last night? I watched Gangs of New York. That's how fucked up this time is.
I love that movie.
I had never really watched it. I had just seen parts.
What?
It's, I'm catching up to my life. It's amazing. It's an amazing piece of work. And that felt like 1,000 times more riotous than what we've been experiencing with all of the riots throughout the country, you know, two blocks in Seattle and two blocks in Portland. This is New York City. Everybody should watch this thing. It really took me to this moment. And I went, holy shit.
The end where there's the riot at the very end in 1860, well, it was 1863 or something. It was a very different world.
Yeah. No streets.
Yeah. I mean, the country changes a lot. People seem to be so pessimistic now that we don't recognize progress. I think that it's a lot of it is, you know, when you talk to younger people, I've had this happen on the show, you know, you'll say something to some millennial, and they'll be like, well, I wasn't alive for that. Like, well, yeah, but it still happened. You know, I wasn't alive for Pearl Harbor, but I know about it. So they don't seem to have a great perspective on where we've come versus where we are.
And you have to look at the flow chart of humanity.
Is there always progress yet to be made? Of course.
Right.
But man, we're just in our lifetimes where America was in, I mean, take 1970, that's 50 years ago. It was not even a discussion whether you'd have an African-American on the ticket. for president. It was not, no one talked to it. I think Shirley Chisholm ran in 1972. No one was serious that thought she would seriously get the nomination. And that may have been one of the first, you know, real attempts. 50 years later, now Joe Biden's about to pick his vice presidential candidate. We've had an African-American president, and no one expects that he will pick anyone. You couldn't have a Democratic ticket without a person of color on it. Now, I'm not saying there isn't still great work to be done. There is. But, you know, things do change. We do, as Obama used to say, I'm going to get fuck up the quote, but the arc of history moves. I'm fucking it up. It bends toward the right direction.
I do that as well. In fact, I'm going to take a quick, watch this break. Here we go.
Unexpected trouble? CashNet USA can take the stress out of borrowing emergency funds. Our fast, secure application process makes it easy to apply online 24/7. Plus, CashNet USA offers same-day funding if approved before 10:30 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Additional terms may apply. Visit CashNetUSA.com or tap the banner to apply today.
All right, we're back. Don't you wish everything was like that?
Why, you just put in a commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how it happens. So are you missing the audience when you do the show, or are you kind of settling into it? Because you're doing this better than I've seen pretty much anybody do it. Some of our late night hosts are doing a nice job. Of course, John Oliver, you know, people that are know how to do the form, they're broadcasters. And you come from the Johnny Carson school. We've talked about this before. Of broadcasting, of knowing exactly what you're doing. And you're able to go right into the lens and you don't have to hear the laughs because you know where they are. Are you comfortable with it? Or are you missing the audience tremendously?
Of course. How can you not miss the audience?
I don't know. It's looking pretty good in your house.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, what I am pleased about was that idea of having a laugh track and then cutting to the fake shots of people from audiences all through history.
Yeah, it's memorable.
Because it did solve the big problem for me. It did solve the problem of how can I do a show that looks like my show? That's why I do it in a suit and tie. I wanted to keep this for the sake of the audience and sort of for me. I wanted to keep it as close as I possibly could with the fact that we're shooting in my man cave and on my fucking yard. It's crazy. But I was like, well, how can I keep everything as close as I can? Because we do a show that's mostly about ideas, which let us have, I think, more of a way to retain what we are watched for anyway. I mean, if you do stuff that's just frothy, it's tough when they take away the froth. But we were never frothy. We were trying to be, here's real discussions with the smartest people we can find. Some celebrities too, but smart ones. And it's going to be funny. There's going to be funny in there. But it's going to be about ideas and presenting new ways to look at things. I've always said to people who sometimes mistake me for some sort of investigative reporter, I don't uncover stories. I try to uncover new ways of looking at stories. Right. So that's what we've always done. I can do that anywhere. And I can do it without an audience. But I would, of course, especially when you're doing a monologue, I mean, I have to, you know, really work myself up. I try to retain as much energy as I can because that's what the audience gives you, that it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, they're giving me energy, I'm giving them. And without that, it's like playing tennis and there's nobody on the other side of the net.
Right.
It's a bit of an acting job.
And the dilemma also is it's a big show. Your show is shot like a big show. It's a big show. It's a big studio. It's an event when you do your show. That's how it's set up to be.
I hope so.
But the theme gets my heart pumping, just the music alone.
Oh, thanks.
When I hear Start the Clock, I get a semi. I wanted to bring up something when you and I were on that plane coming back from Hawaii and how the world has changed so much, and we got shit, you got shit for mocking the Al Franken photo that was taken of him back in the Animal House way of thinking days, where he had his hands distanced but simulating touching. Who was the lady's breast that he was touching?
It's a joke.
And exactly, exactly.
On the joke, and that's it.
And that was something that I was proud. The only thing I didn't like is that my man boobs were bigger then, and I was asleep. So you kind of violated me.
That's why we thought it was funny, because in the original, he's doing it to her when she's asleep.
Exactly. It was perfect.
Explained that I did it to you.
I've never been happier being a victim, I swear.
It was funny, and that's my...
Do you look at the shit that you get for things, or do you just kind of go, it comes with a deal?
No, I don't. No, you can give me all the shit you want. When they knock on my door and say, you're done, then fine. I'll say, okay, I had 27 years, and now I'll go somewhere else and do it there.
Absolutely.
I'm not ready to leave it, but I do understand. By the way, HBO has been fantastic from day one, including now under new management. I've noticed no change, no pressure, no don't do this, don't do this. But look, we all know we live in the real world, and social media just gets worse and worse. And the lanes of what is sayable just get narrower and narrower. You know, my theory is always, I will go right up to the line of where I lose my job.
Right.
Back it off this much. And that, they keep changing those goalposts. So, you know, I don't blame HBO at all. I'm telling you, they've been fantastic. But at some point, someone is going to create some entity where you are not fireable. I mean, some people have it, like a podcast, like my friend Sam Harris. He's not a comedian.
I want to do this thing forever. It doesn't matter if I'm directing a movie or if I'm doing a TV show. I love this.
But you just had it at a commercial, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's no good, because the sponsors can pull out. I lost one show like that, my first show on ABC. And then, of course, they can put pressure on a corporation.
I could do it somewhere else without sponsors. I'm just not going to stop doing it because I don't have to.
There's going to be some entity, because it's getting so ridiculous of what is not sayable anymore and how narrow that gets. And then when they stick a camera in somebody else's face and say, do you also think this is offensive? They're just too cowardly to go, no, fuck off. It wasn't that bad. It was a joke. My new heroes are Trader Joe's.
Right. Because
they tried to get Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's was like, they had this forever, like these line of, I don't know, stuff that was with an ethnic twist on Joe, Trader Jose's.
Yeah.
And of course, somebody of the social justice warrior squad has to come out there and go, well, you should remove your racist packaging. And instead of doing what everybody always does, which is grovel and apologize, they went, no, I'm sorry. We don't think that's racist. And we don't run our business based on petitions. And nothing changed at Trader Joe's.
Right. Yeah. My mother is gone, but she was in denial because I was her son, pretty much. I would do some offensive jokes. She'd go, oh, Bobby. And I'd done some joke about her, you know, where I came out of, on her, out of her body. Say anything. Innuendo is difficult right now in a world where, I mean, there's things Johnny Carson could not say today.
That's got to be tough for you, because like I say, your shtick is, you know, you're America's dad, but really we know you're the sickest fuck on the planet.
Well, that's nice. That's a big compliment. But I've actually been changing and evolving. And as I was about to go on tour in March, I had so much stuff about how I was raised in Norfolk, Virginia, and how much racism I had to face as a Jewish kid. And that's all I was affronted with constantly. So my material became more human. I've changed. I'm 64. I'm not, I'll throw a dick joke in because I got to stay alive. I mean, I gotta have some fun, But
yeah, I hope you don't change too much.
No, I won't. I'll be able to make you laugh at saying the worst thing, which is what I love about comedians.
I'd rather both of us not even work than be brought to heel like that. You know, I mean, I am not a let's say a compatriot with Kanye West on his political views, but when he said about Trump, "The mob can't make me hate him," I love that. The mob can't make me do anything.
That's right.
You might make me go away. You certainly try all the time.
Well, you lose yourself. As long as you're happy with your behavior.
Be the sick fuck we know and love. And if that's not good enough for them, fuck them. Then you know, find some forum where they can't do that to you.
You're helping me. You just Obi-Wan Kenobi'd me.
Okay.
You know, follow the dark side, Bob. One more thing I wanted to know. When you're not doing the show, when you're off for a couple weeks, it would be I'm going to be in Cincinnati. I'm going to be in, I'm going here. Yeah. Now, what do you, can you stop thinking about the news? Do you unplug, or are you made this way? I mean, I don't stop thinking about dick jokes.
I grew up the son of a newsman in a household that talked about the news. I was interested in the news before I made it my living. It didn't come the other way around. It wasn't like, oh, I don't know anything about the news, I don't like it, but hey, you know what? I think I'll do that as a way. No, this is what I always, how can you not be interested in the news? It's the first draft of history. History is the most interesting subject. It's about people, not numbers and things like that. I mean, it's fascinating. As much as this time is terrible, it's not dull. So I don't even want to. Of course, I'm always going to keep up with the news. Now, when I'm off for a month, like we just had the month of July off, it's kind of nice because, yeah, I can take in the news without having to know that, okay, this week, I know they're going to give me shit about this and this and this and this and this, but I still got to say it because that's my bond with my audience and myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pull the punch and not say it, but it was nice for a month not to have that stress of, oh, I'm going to get shit for this and this and this and this.
Right.
But now that's the world we live in. Like, everybody just wants to bitch. So, you know, almost no matter what you say, they're going to get.
I don't know why. It takes more effort to be positive for people. It's easier to be angry and scream at the television set. And we need to somehow pull people together. And I don't know how people need to come to the table and talk with everything that's going on right now.
Well, I came and talked to you.
Yeah, you did.
How about that for an ending segue, huh? It's pretty good.
Well, what are you going to do now? You're going to go have a little smoke and relax, have a little of the greenery?
Mountain greenery, remember that?
A little mountain greenery, yeah. Mountain greenery. Do you use papers or do you use a pipe?
Never smoked joints in my life. I mean, look, can you occasionally find me a picture of me holding a joint? Yes, I'm sure you can, but it was probably because I was smoking it with somebody else or something. But I never smoked joints. It was never my way. I never liked it. When I was first smoking, it was a bong. We had little bongs. We had big bongs. We smoked them in the car.
It is not very COVID friendly right now.
No. Bong. Well, I mean, if you smoke your own individual bong. Right. And then, I mean, as far as back as the 90s, I moved to vaping. You know, I remember in the mid 90s having the first, it looked like something they made in wood shop. It literally was like a piece of wood.
I remember.
Had a thing on it. I remember Woody Harrelson bringing it into a restaurant in Hawaii one year. It's like, whoa, that is some Hawaiian royalty when they plugged this in into a restaurant. It was like the Four Seasons or something. And that was the 90s. And then for years, I had the Volcano, which was the metal thing, and it filled up a big plastic bag, and you put on the bag. And now they have pens, and now they have everything. But vaping, right. As soon as I could get on the vape train, I did that because I feel like it's always better to lift the THC off than rather to burn it. I mean, the joint is so harsh. It made me cough.
I can't do that. It's for the lungs. But what about the dangers of vaping that I hear about?
Oh, you know, who knows? You know, we don't know everything about vaping either. But, and I'm sure there could be some problems. And I'm not sure that heating a plastic bag all those years, you know, making plastic hot was a great idea.
In 1982, I was in a hotel in Shitville somewhere. I don't know if they're still around. And I had a Secrets box and I stuck a Bic shaver in it. And yeah. I put holes in the top of it and I got some weed and put it in the top. And it was the hardest inhale I've ever tried to make. I have something to show you before. I have Rodney Dangerfield's pot pipe right here.
That I would save.
Here.
Hold on. I'll show you. I got it. I actually have it here. Well,
you like this pot.
He loved it. So this is
his
actual pot pipe. His widow Joan gave it to me.
Yeah. I mean, I remember once I was like the hero. I was at some event. This is, you know, again, a million years ago. And I was with a bunch of rappers. I remember Ja Rule was there. Remember Ja Rule?
Of course.
And we had pot and we had nothing to smoke it with. And it was some event and there was a table with a bunch of food. And I made a bong out of an apple.
Oh, yeah. People did that.
Right. And it was like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I had saved Christmas, you know. It was like I was like the hero because I knew how to make a bong. It was a wonderful day. So many good memories.
Well, there'll be good ones in the future.
There will be.
And I'd like to see you out in the world when we're back and everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, your lip to God ears.
That's hard to get. That's a long stretch. If we don't believe in God.
No. Well,
I'm confused about all of it.
I'll believe anything just to get this over with because I'm not digging it, but nobody is. I'm not going to complain.
No.
Many have it worse than I. And
that's true.
I feel bad for so many people who are struggling with things that we are lucky and we do not certainly have to struggle with.
People are hurting beyond our imagination.
And it's going to get worse because the economy is not going to get better.
No, I know.
I mean, we are in a bad place.
And it's sad that it's a political thing and not a human thing.
Well, it is a human thing.
That's correct. Well, Bill, I love you and thank you for doing my podcast.
My pleasure. Say hi to your lovely for me. And,
I will.
You know,
enjoy your vaping.
Hopefully we'll see you at.
I'll see you at the polo. Maybe we'll make an arrangement. Well, be well, Bill. And thank you for all the great work you're doing.
Thanks, Bob. Great to see you.
Take care. You too, man. Well, that was Bill Maher, and he taught me not to lose my sense of dick jokes. That's what I've gotten from this. But actually to not lose who I am, because I'm a person that's used irreverent comedy just because it made me laugh. And I get my weird stuff done on stage. I don't act it out in my life. I am more conscious now of what would upset people, as Bill and I were talking about, because of how so many people have been objectified in history and the world has changed right now. And I want to be very empathetic toward all those changes, but I'm not going to lose. Damn it. When I got a dick joke, I have to tell it. You know, I had a tweet the other day. I'm going to read it because I think it's relevant to what I'm saying. And why can't I say stuff like this? It might read better than what I'm saying. It just says, I just had a COVID test and I'm wondering if the doctor was legit. They're supposed to put the swab in your butt and then put it in your mouth to see if you have a sense of taste, right? See, in other words, he put the swab, I don't have to explain it, but he put the swab in my butt and then he put it in my mouth and said, oh, you got a sense of taste, so you don't have COVID. That's not a good doctor. I'm just saying that right now. I can't recommend any medication to any of you people. Bill had some really prolific stuff to say. I agree with him totally on we take care of our bodies more. Practice what you eat. Try to eliminate it. Don't hold it in too long. He eats a lot of garlic. If I ate that much garlic, I would have explosive diarrhea, which isn't bad because maybe I'd move around the house quicker. You do get cardio from diarrhea. He would be laughing at this. But he's relaxing now. And it was very kind of him to do that right after shooting a show. So, and I'm the second podcast he's ever done. So that lets you know what kind of person Bill's always been with me. Just straight up. And I respect that. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know what you do. You review, you rate, you I don't know. Oh, you subscribe. That's what you do. I do know. I'm just like a broken record of stuff. You guys take care of yourself and be good. Be good to yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you ain't good for nobody else. So do that so you can take care of other people, your kids, your parents, your siblings, friends, or just yourself. If you could just take care of yourself. I take care of myself because my wife's out of town. So I take care of myself. I think I'm up to 17 times a day now. See, I'm following Bill's advice. I'm not going to lose that. It's such an endearing streak. The only thing that upsets me is sometimes I'll do a podcast and I'll look at the comments afterward and someone will go, I'm 9. But it says explicit, so I don't understand. If it says explicit, that means I'm going to say stuff. So 9-year-olds, you shouldn't be listening to this. It's not Danny Tanner. It's just a guy who lovingly played Danny Tanner. If you don't know who Danny Tanner is, you're a smart person and you read. It was a show for kids and for families, a sitcom in the United States, and it was popular in Canada and throughout. Anyway, I can put myself down. I don't need sleeping pills. I just listen to tapes of me talking. This podcast will give you a good sleep. You listen to it, I guarantee it, you'll just want to hear the last 10 minutes in the morning. You'll be out cold. So I'm here. And I'm for you. That's not, boy, don't brand that. Take care of yourselves, everybody.